We're going to open our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. When we're done, you'll know why I'm getting ready to say what I'm going to say. I did not feel good this afternoon at all. I laid down and rested, and I'm laying there asleep, and I'm dreaming about laying there asleep and not feeling good. I'm dreaming about not feeling good, and it's like I'm awake, but I'm not awake. I know I'm sleeping because I woke up and when the phone rang, but or beeped or something. But while I'm laying there, I'm thinking, the dreaming, how do I say this? While I'm dreaming that I'm asleep, and or I'm asleep and I'm dreaming that I'm asleep, and I dreamt that I woke up and said, I just feel so bad. Maybe I should just not have church tonight, and everybody would understand because of the blood pressure. But no, I'm going to get up. And then I woke up and got dressed and came over. Well, when we're through tonight, you'll know why that happened. That's a teaser, right? Cliffhanger. We're talking about Jesus in the synagogue. And remember, the synagogue was a place of teaching. And it had three officers. There was the ruler of the synagogue, the fellow who also, second one, who distributed the offerings, the alms. And there was the fellow called the minister. And he kept the scrolls, the scripture. He also sounded the silver trumpet, and he was the custodian of the synagogue. And the minister also chose who did the exposition. They had scripture reading, and then they would have someone to expound on the word. And that's what's happening here. He's allowed Christ to be the person expounding the scripture. In verse 22, we see what happens. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Now, the scribes were religious leaders there. They taught everything truthfully, everything, well, as best, some of what they taught was wrong, but fundamentally they were okay, but there was no power there. The Holy Spirit wasn't in charge, you know what I'm saying? It was just academic for them, okay? They taught things also that were not true. They added to Scripture. Jesus comes in, and he opens the Word, and they heard the Word of God explained like they'd never heard before. How exciting. And they said, man, this is powerful. And it's he speaks with authority, not just some list of things, you know, not just dry as dust. This guy really... the Word of God is alive in that person, in this fellow, Jesus from Nazareth. You know, we talk about what would it be like to go back in time. You ever seen somebody, if you go back in time and meet some historical figure, who, and of course a lot of people say, I would like to meet Jesus, but I wonder if we really think about what it would be like to meet him, really meet him. Well, you know, if Jesus is alive to you right now, meeting him in person would not be that much different, other than you see it. Shouldn't be much different. He would be just as real to you there as he is, it should be, as he is right now. And he speaks to us just like he would speak to us there. So I really, you know, would love to watch what happened, though. I really would. And one day we're going to get to heaven. I think God's going to let us watch. I think there's going to be a heavenly library or something. We can pull out a video and watch the parting of the Red Sea. Watch. I can't wait to watch creation. You say, what do you mean watch creation? How do you think Moses wrote it down? God played him a video. Said, here's what happened. Played the video. And Moses wrote it down. That's how come we know it's accurate, because God showed him exact. I think we're going to be able to watch creation. Won't that be neat? To watch that, watch Moses, watch the part in the Red Sea, but to watch Jesus heal the blind man or make the lame to walk. But maybe the most fabulous thing that we will observe is to watch and listen to him expound the Word of God right here. In fact, he's going to do that for us in real time, not just on a video, in heaven too. I think that there's going to be so many people we're going to be able to listen to preach the Word of God. Paul, the apostle, all the great preachers. But to hear Jesus explain the Word of God, it'll be like nobody else. R.G. Lee was the pastor of Bellevue Baptist in Memphis for decades, years and years ago. He was the last of the really great oratorical preachers. Do you know what I mean by that? He could paint a word picture for you. He could speak words and you could see it in your mind. And he preached a lot on heaven. And you could just see heaven. He got close to death and he's on his deathbed and nearly in just a few hours away from dying, and he talked to his daughter and he said, "I saw heaven." Apparently he was napping. "I saw heaven." And she said, "Tell me, Dad, what was it like?" He said, "I didn't do it justice. I didn't do it justice. Could not describe her. Heaven is going to be a beautiful place, but what makes it beautiful is Jesus is there. And he speaks. And as the songwriter said, the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds stop their singing. And they heard him expound the Word of God. And they just stopped. You know, often in a church service even, we have racket. Bigger the church, the more the racket. If you've been in big churches, I've been in churches of 4,000 or 5,000 people in attendance and more. You know, everybody who's, you know, gum wrappers. You can imagine. Just make it up. I mean, you can imagine. And even the guy who has fingernail clippers. Bink, bink, bink. You know, they do. You've been in church where they do that. But when Jesus spoke, I just really think the whole place got totally silent. Just totally silent. Never a man spake as this man. And they said this, they were just astonished. Notice it says, not as the scribes. Not as the scribes, end of verse 22. You know, they became the enemies of Jesus, along with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, who were the scribes? Well, they were the keepers of the law. They were the ones who were responsible for making application of the wide scriptural principles found in the Old Testament law. And they just went wild with it. They were intelligent. They were scholarly. They were theologians of their day, But God wasn't within 100 miles of their hearts. They had head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. Now, if you got both, that's good. But if you got to have one, to have heart knowledge, you know. But don't be just, you know, spiritually ignorant. Learn and put what's in your heart with what's the Word of God teaches our mind. And hey, you've got something. Well, they didn't have that. They just had head knowledge. And every scribe had his own interpretation of the Word of God and added to all the rest of what had been added before him. And all these things were unwritten. They weren't written down. They were orally taught. They were shared verbally. For example, they'd legislated the principles of the Word of God so that you could only walk so far on the Sabbath day, and if you walked past that, you were sinning. In fact, you could not, they'd done, set it all up, you couldn't administer help to someone who had been out of their home. Now, you could help them out of the ditch, but if they were sitting there bleeding, you couldn't help them. They had all kinds of things that were added. None of it was written down until many, many years later when people started documenting it. But it was called oral traditions of the law. And it's easy to see how these people became so amazed when they heard Jesus speak it from the heart. Verse 23, And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cries out to Jesus. Now, let's talk real quickly about what is an unclean spirit. Well, it's what we today would call a demon. Now, the King James uses the word devils, plural, And when you see that, that's talking about fallen angels. There's only one devil, and he's not omnipresent. And we know his name is Lucifer, right? And he can't be everywhere. So he's got his little kingdom set up like an army. He's the top, you know, he's the commander in chief, and he's got generals, and he's got all this stuff underneath, and all the way down to the peons that are do all the grunt work. And it's just like, it's very militaristic. And in fact, he's got a whole third of the created angels that went with him when he rebelled against God. And there are millions of them. And they're fallen, rebellious, disembodied spirits. Their primary abode is the air. They're disembodied spirits, and their primary place of residence is the air. If you could look in with spiritual glasses into the air of any church service where the Word of God is really being taught, in fact, probably especially, maybe even more so, where it's not being taught, you would see that they're everywhere trying to get us to fall asleep, trying to get us to not pay attention, trying to, what did he say? I'd take up offense. You know what I'm saying? All kinds of things. You ever been in a church service where a baby all of a sudden just cried out? I used to say it this way. One of those little guys, critters, stuck a baby with a pin. When we were in Springdale, before we relocated, we were downtown, and behind the pulpit, that way was the fire station. And over on that side was railroad tracks. And if a train came through town on Sunday morning during church service, when did it come through? Right during the invitation. When did it blow its horn? Right during the invitation. They've been instructed not to, and they did it anyway. If there was a fire in Springdale at that time on a Sunday morning, it would happen during the preaching or the invitation, almost without question. It always happened. And the fire chief was a member of the church. He told them, don't, let's drive and then get down the street and set it off. And they did it anyway. I was running this, we watched a Christian film when I was about 14, and I was, church in Jinx had an aisle down the middle, and it was a Billy Graham film, I think. And they got to the part where he was preaching to make for people to make a decision, right? And I'm sitting there with the projector, 16 millimeter reels like this. There's a two reel, and you're not gonna believe this, but what happened right at that moment where it was the best thing for the devil for it to happen. The reel that had the supply reel, there was one here, you know, and it fed the machine and it went to the pickup reel like this, remember? And the one with all the film on it came off the machine and broke the film and came rolling down the aisle. And that's not accidental. This kind of stuff happens all the time because their habitation of these fallen angels is the air, and they're looking for places to cause problems and to cause us to be distracted from keeping our eyes on the Lord. It can happen with that crazy driver that drives you nuts on the highway. I mean, today I had a terrible time. I thought, I'm just sure that they're having an insane convention of insane people, and they're all driving to it today in Tulsa, because every single person that was around me was just awful, and I had a horrible time. I felt bad, had a bad headache, I can get him. I'll send some bad drivers his way. And this is the way it works. Have you figured this out? That's the way it works. And so what you have to do is know what's going on. And they're always looking for someone to inhabit. And one of these disembodied demons had come into this man in verse 23, pardon me, and he walked into the service at the synagogue. Now, the word unclean, of course, let me give you a description. It's just a vile, polluted, horrible, rebellious, unholy angel, okay? And they're real. They're real. If you've been in church for very long, you have seen people who are controlled by them sitting in churches, and I've seen it, and it's and while we're not to see demons behind every bush, don't go around. You know, we had an evangelist years ago come to Springdale, and the pastor took him back to the motel after first evening, and this guy had gotten caught up in seeing a demon behind every tree. And pastor took him up to the motel went up to the, they were going to pray for the service. I think they had a midday service or something. And they were going to pray for the evening service. So we'll come up to the room, we'll pray. And so he got ready to get out of the car, and the evangelist said, "Hold it! Wait a minute." He started casting demons off the parking lot and out of all the cars. And there, by the time he got done, there wasn't a demon within 100 miles of Springdale. You know, so you can get paranoid with it, really. What's important is to focus on Jesus, on Christ, because he is greater, who lives in you, than he who's in the world. So don't get paranoid. But let me talk about it, since that's where we're at a little bit. Like I said, they're real. And in the last days of the church age, which we're in right now, if you don't believe that, you'll notice that the I think it's the Presbyterians just ordained, or whatever they call it, installed a gender-neutral minister in one of their churches who is a female. You know, if you've got two X chromosomes, you're female. If you've got a Y, you're male. Now, some men have XYY, but if you've got at least one Y, you are a male. Well, this thing that they've installed as a first transgendered whatever is got XX chromosome. Now, if that's not demonic control of a whole denomination, I don't know what is. And this is happening. It's happening in the Methodist denomination. It's happening in the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptist Convention is being destroyed by this kind of stuff. Horrible. Just unbelievable. And it's in the cemeteries. It's everywhere. And the demons are busy. And you know, by the way, the reason why that they're advocating their rights is they're going after the children. You know, because, hey, they can't reproduce. They recruit. And they want to make it legal for grown-ups and children to do bad things. And that's where this is headed. And I shudder to think what's going to be like in a few years. The laws are going to end up getting changed if something doesn't happen. And it will become where, you know what? You get near one of my kids, I will blow your head off with my shotgun. You better not set foot on my property. And I think that's perfectly scriptural. Protect your family, especially innocents, children who are innocent. That's my opinion, but I think it's biblical. Anyway, there's lots and lots of demonic activity, but remember, where there is much teaching of the gospel, you will find less demonic activity. Where the Word of God is displayed, where the Word of God is preached, where the Word of God is lived by God's people, there's less of it. That's why they want it off of our school walls, the Ten Commandments. That's why they want it off of our courthouse walls. That's why they don't want anything talking about God or the Bible in the public arena. Because what's behind it is the devil and his minions, who know that if they can minimize the Christian influence in this country, they can maximize their influence. Marginalize the Christians. Now, let's talk about the difference between demonic oppression and demonic possession. If you are saved, you are not your own. You're bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. You belong to Him, and you are safe in Jesus. You can never be taken out of the Father's hand. So, you are Christ's possession. Now, but a person who's saved can be oppressed, meaning they can be manipulated. And every Christian gets manipulated once in a while by the world, the flesh, or the devil. Okay? And so we sin when we're being manipulated. That's oppression. But we're not possessed by the fallen angels because Jesus lives in us. They cannot enter in. They can control if we let them, but they can't live in us. But a lost person, past the age of accountability, they are under the control of the enemy. And some are indwelt by them. That explains 9/11, doesn't it? Explains where, did you see the horrible picture of the mother and the child who were trying to get, and they died in the this past day or two in the river? You see that picture? Is it a dad or daughter? It's terrible. Just, you know, terrible. And the things that happen to children. I read a news article, was it yesterday or today, that the this parent shot their child, or fella shot this woman's child because he had a disagreement with the mother. Horrible. What's happening to children ought to make us really mad, and rightfully so. And we ought to put an end to it. But because there are so many liberals out there who, well, you know, they want to... Here's a guy who assaulted, and we'd be polite because we have children present, assaulted a little girl and gets out. Gets out. If Judge Parker were still alive in Fort Smith, he'd get out and go right out there and they'd hang him. And they should. It's terrible. And this is because of demonic activity. Now, demonic possession is where you are, where a person who is lost is totally indwelt by. Christ is here in the synagogue. This man with an unclean spirit controlling him comes in. And this demon had taken over the man's voice, vocal cords. Everybody thought it was him talking, but it wasn't him talking. And if you were there, you and I would have thought that it was just this guy speaking. But notice what he says. And was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying to Jesus, "Let us alone," plural. "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Thou art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Amazing. The demons knew who Jesus was, and you got intellectual morons in this country who are occupying pulpits in the churches in this nation who don't believe that Jesus is God. But the demons know. The Bible says, and they tremble. They know who God is, Jesus is, and they're scared to death of him. Very interesting what demons know. James 2:19 says that they know and they tremble. So he cries out. And in verse 25, the Bible says this, "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace. Be still. Come out of him." And verse 26 says, "When the unclean spirit had torn," the word torn means to cause the man to his body to convulse, "and cried with a loud voice," and the word cried is a English translation of what we would translate it, maybe shrieked. He made a lot of noise. He came out. This critter's not going to give up easily. And this happens many times in Scripture. And the idea, as I said, is to convulse. And finally, when Jesus commands him to, you know, says, out, he screams and leaves. Notice. And they were all amazed. Suppose this, in a church service Sunday, how about Sunday morning? A man or a woman who's demon-possessed comes in and starts to cause a ruckus. And the pastor takes authority over that, casts the demons out. The body of the person starts to convulse and flop on the floor. And finally, with a horrible scream, they leave. Person gets, by the way, that person can get saved. And the demons have to leave. Pastor doesn't have to do that. Christian doesn't have to. That person can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And Jesus will do for them what he did right here for them, this man. And so this happens Sunday, and this person stands up and is fine. I would think that would probably get our attention. You reckon we'd have any room that night for all the people that would show up to try to see what's going to happen next? It wouldn't take long. You know, Christ is not the only one who can cast out demons. But, in those days, you know, but it is possible today, more importantly, that Christ can save a soul that's on its way to hell and free that person from the bondage that they're in. But you see, the lost person, after the age of accountability, they are enslaved to their sin. And many of them literally cannot stop themselves. I've dealt with a lot of drug addicts over the years. And I've said to almost every police officer I've ever met, I've said, you know, I wish that they'd let me run the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, for 3 years. And I've said this so many times, I won't go through it, but other than to say, if we catch you doing it, you know, selling it, making it, you know, distributing it in any way, and we catch you, we'll give you one trial. And it'll be a fair trial. And if we convict you, we will take you out on the courthouse lawn. This is a la Judge Parker in Fort Smith. And we will hang you on live television at high noon. And every police officer I've said that to lights up and says, yeah. I say, you reckon how many we'd have to execute? Almost all of them said, what about a couple dozen? A couple dozen across the country, high noon? They're not going to do that anymore. We catch you using it. We'll convict you. And we convict you. Put you in a one-year mandatory lockdown, and I'm going to say Christian-based therapy program, right? And we catch you a second time, it'll be a mandatory 3-year on the other side of the country. Catch you a third time, we'll execute you. Someone says that's cruel and unusual punishment. Have you ever seen a baby born addicted to heroin? I have. And that poor child has no choice. That mother had a choice. First, to not get pregnant. These women screaming for abortion rights. You know what? It's you can't control my body. Well, why? If you controlled your body, you wouldn't have babies out of wedlock. How brilliant is that? She had a choice not to get pregnant. She had a choice not to be a drug addict. She had a choice not to take those things while she's pregnant. I've seen them smoking, haven't you? It just makes me sick. And all this stuff, you see, drugs, the word pharmacy, comes from the same root word in the original language in which the New Testament is written that we get our word sorcery from. Did you know that? Not medicine. We're talking about mind-altering. The drug world, anybody knows anything, knows that the drug world is the realm, one of the realms of Satan. You know this. You cannot explain otherwise how it can destroy so many people. But Jesus can free us. Jesus can free us. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how deep we sink, if we will cry out to Jesus, this man cried out. He wasn't just totally possessed by one. He had multiples. And Jesus heard. Whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that a beautiful truth? Thank the Lord for that beautiful truth, and thank the Father for Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace. I thank you for the victory that Christ had over sin and death and hell and the powers of the enemy on the cross. And when he said it is finished, he ended the bondage that we were in. All we have to do is call upon him to save us. Help us to share that wonderful message with someone this week. And then, Lord, as we go about our duties the remainder of this week, help us to be salt and light in this dark world in which we live. And then, Lord, help us to bring somebody with us Sunday to hear the Word of God preached and taught that they might be saved, is my prayer in his name. Amen. All right. God bless you.